I'll just give you a moment to find that in your Bibles if you have them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of the flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them, which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up hands which hang down, and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man seeth the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Well, if you have it by your side, turn to that portion we had read to us from Hebrews chapter 12. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, it's not the end of the story in one way, it's the beginning of a new life. And that life may not be easy on many accounts. When a person becomes a Christian, I can assure you today that you come to Jesus Christ. Anyone who comes to him will know what it is to have everlasting life. That is a promise that God gives. His promises fail not, and he will bring you to the end, and you will go to glory. But that didn't mean that you go straight to glory, and neither does it mean that it's going to be an easy path. Jesus said, difficult is the gate and difficult is the way that leads unto life. And it's only those who endure to the end that will be saved. That's how the scriptures put it. What happens is you become a Christian, and God then will give you the strength, the help. He will deal with you. He will urge you on. He will help you on your way, that you will make it to the end of the journey. But the journey is filled with great conflict. The conflict is on all sides. You have the world outside. There's the devil which is after you. And there's also the lust of the flesh. And at any time, one of these can bring you down, can hinder you, can stop you on the track. And it's only by the grace of God that we actually will ever make it to the end. But one of the things that can really bring you down is not some kind of great major event, but something really which abides within the heart of each and every one of us, which has to be dealt with. Something very small. It's something which we read about tonight. You have to deal with resentment and bitterness and disappointment. And these things are really serious in a Christian's life. There are many things which can hinder us on our lives, but I can assure you tonight, holding grudges, having bitterness, being resentful, these things will put an end to your Christian life. And it's possible to do that. The scriptures tell us. And what happens is that we're warned and we're told of what we need to do And these warnings help us to go on, that we would then continue in this walk that God has for us. Now, tonight, I can assure you, in the town and in society, there are many people who have gone to a place of worship, but are no longer attending as they once were, don't go anywhere at the moment. And if you ask them why they don't go, I'm talking now with, we're talking with hundreds of people. It's not because of anything doctrinally went wrong in the church. It's not because anything major happened. But something happened, something small. Something was said, something took place, and there's something that's got into their heart. And you know, through that which they resented, a grudge which they've held, something they've held on to, do you realise that there are hundreds of people who have been to places like this, evangelical places of worship, they no longer attend as they once did because something offended them in the past. Now that can really, really have major effects. Actually, what we'll read tonight, those little things can take us to a lost eternity. And that's what you find here in our text tonight. It's found in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 12. And this is what we read. Looking carefully or diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And what happens is that you've got one of these sins that John Bunyan used to say, it's a sin that will take you to hell. And in this very verse, we read two things about it. The danger of it, that it'll bring you short of the grace of God. And also this, it will then defile many. It's never just you, it'll be your family, your friends, and others. Because of what's happened to you, then you share it with others, and it has this multiplying, desperate, drastic effect. Only something small, but this small thing can hinder the whole of your Christian life. For the last 6 weeks, I did something to my ankle. I don't know what I did, just woke up one day, and I can tell you, for the last 6 weeks, it's affected my walking, it's affected my health, it's affected my little emotions, because I get tired of not being able to do the things that you once thought you could do. And before you know it, just that little thing in the body, which has gone then wrong, has a devastating effect in many ways. Now tonight, from this verse, there's only three things I want us to look at. I want us to see the teaching of what we're being taught, the seriousness, that you must be diligent and careful, that there be no root of bitterness which would spring up within you, because it would have terrible effects both for you and others around you. I want to give you tonight just three illustrations from Scripture of what then and has happened in the lives of others, and also then some practical things from this verse that we need now because of all the things that will stop us in our Christian lives, this will be one. And first of all, just to put it into context for you, is that the writer of Hebrews is writing to a church, obviously, but to those who have definitely tasted of heavenly things and have come to know the great truths of the gospel, because we know that because he tells us of the great news that they've come to receive and had witnesses of. In verse 4 of chapter 2, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And what happened was this, is that these now are under the sound of the gospel. They had come to know the great glories of Christ. They had definitely come to know who Jesus Christ was, but the pressure was on them. And when the pressure was on them, because they were being persecuted, they were beginning to go back to their old religion, go back to their old lives. And yet now the writer tells them not to go back, just as they did in the wilderness. But it's not just the pressure which is around them. There's also the heart which they had within them, a heart of unbelief. And when the gospel comes, what happens is this. The gospel will give you a new heart. He will give you a heart of flesh. One of the marks of the gospel is this, is that you will have a heart which will want to love God. That heart you've got to keep eye on. And what happens now is that as he's warning them here, he tells them, for example, in chapter 6, and you find it there in verse, for example, 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. And one of the reasons why we don't go on as we ought and why people fail, there can be a sluggishness in our lives. And here now is this exhortation which is given to us that you be diligent, as we hear, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now, it is possible for someone to fall short of the grace of God. I know I've mentioned before that you cannot fall from the grace of God, but you know there have been those at the church and those at the doors and those who have heard of the gospel, those who have come under the sound of it, and then something has happened in their hearts and they're no longer found, you see, in such places. And for that, it's a serious thing. And what happens now is that the writer wants you to know how serious this is on two accounts. Falling short of the very grace of God and knowing the effect, you know it in your lives. Think of what bitterness can do, how bitterness has destroyed so many lives, so many relationships, so many happy moments. When people have a grudge, when they have resentment, with things which are harbouring and festering within them, you know the damage, and you know what it's done in your life, and you know the effect at Christmas and holiday, family gatherings. You know what it is, that no matter what happens, the sun can be shining outside. Your bank account can be full of money. You could know what it is to have everything around you, but inside it poisons, does it not, every kind of day. And there's a poison that can come into our hearts and into our lives, and you've got to watch it. It can destroy your life, and it can also destroy your fellowship with God and your bringing forth of fruit. And you've got to be careful with it. And what happens now, not only does it affect in our lives, it affects also, as we read here, it can affect others. At least any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Many become defiled. And if you want to know what happens, there's something else, and then the next person's told, and your family's told, and your friends are told. And before you know it, everyone's hindered from coming and receiving and enjoying those things that they once then enjoyed. And you need to be aware of it, because it is that which is in each and every one of us. To look at the teaching of the verse, this is what it says, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. Well, I've got news for you. That root is in every single human being. It's not that you just say, I'm resentful because of this and this and that. It's actually something which is dormant within us in our fallen human condition. And you have to watch it. If someone's not asked, someone's not recognized, they're poodying, they're pouting, and it's just simply there. And before you know it, it can really take a hold. I'll be honest with you, that I should say that this would be my first great battle when I became a Christian. When you become a Christian, everything is hunky-dory. You can't believe the world you've entered into. You can't believe the church that you're now part of. You can't believe how things are going. But you know, you just realize we don't live in a perfect world, in a perfect church. And then, you know, before I knew it, you know, someone had said something, and you get disappointed until someone pointed out this verse to me. I was so glad they did. And I've lived with it for 35 years. This verse, constantly going to it, because you know the dangers which are there and found. Let me just give you another verse. And this is very important. You find it there in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's in chapter 29 and in verse 18. This is the warning that even Moses gave to the people then. Don't underestimate what it has and the effect of it in your life. This is what he says in his final words And he's got something to say to them, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of the nations, and that there may not be among you a bearing bitterness or wormwood. Now, that was the warning he gave. Now, you've got to be careful, because there will be that which is in any man or woman or tribe. You see, it affects people, as I show you, that there will be that bearing bitterness of wormwood, and it will turn you away. And before you know it, you won't know the things and the blessings of God. This is a warning. It's given to us here because those who become Christians have a great path to walk. There's a journey we have to go on. There is a heaven we are reaching, but it is filled with dangers without and dangers within. And the person who's the Christian is the person who reads that word and realizes the dangers of it and wants to deal with it in their lives. Now, let me just give you three examples and three reasons, really, of why then bitterness can definitely come into our heart and into our lives. And the first is simply this. It has to do with life itself. Life can make us bitter. I mean, the older you go, the more disillusioned you can become in how things then work out. And you know, life, it just has those moments. There are many bitter pills to swallow in life. There are many bitter things that can happen to us, where things just don't go as we thought they would. Look, it can happen in work. It can happen in family. There's a will which doesn't go your way, and it was left to someone else. You weren't recognized in a place of promotion. You were overlooked even in a place of a church. Your gifts are no longer recognized. You don't feel that you're appreciated in any way. The hopes that you had and dreams of family, they've gone. Marriage never came as you wanted to. There are a thousand things that people have through life. You know the saying, don't you, of those who've got a chip on their shoulder? They've got a chip because of something happened even in school. The exam results didn't go their way. The job they never wanted. And some have got two chips, one on each shoulder. And it makes some kind of walk all right in one sense. And that's what you've got. It happens in life. Life can make us bitter. And you find it here. There's an example of it in the Old Testament. It was in a story of a person called Ruth. And Ruth was someone who knew the bitterness of life. What happened was she lived in Bethlehem. She was of the family, of one sense, of David. A famine came into the town and into the area. They moved, her husband and two sons. In 10 years, her husband dies, two sons are dead. She is left a widow. There is only one who is with her, a daughter-in-law from one of the sons who was married. And Ruth is the son, is the daughter-in-law. And Naomi had gone, and she had gone to a foreign country. And then she comes back to Bethlehem because she has nowhere else to go. And they're all excited at seeing her when she comes back. And then you find it here in verse then 20. This is what she says. And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." You call me bitter. That's what that word means. Because that's how I feel. And that's what I am. Because of what life's happened. My husband's gone. My sons have gone. Got no inheritance. I'm a widow. I've got nothing to look for. And that's what's happened within a life. Life can do that to you. And you've got to watch it. Because that root of bitterness can come up and it can defile and pollute and poison of anything which is good. You must be wary of it. Let me tell you what else can make you bitter. People can make you bitter. People that you deal with, things which are said, things which happen, just people. You may hold a bitterness and a grudge against, others. I don't know. It happens in church life. I must say to you, it's one of the sad things of being a minister. It's a great, obviously fantastic privilege to come and speak the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus. But to hear some of the things, I tell you, it would make you sick and it would make you vomit of what then is said about brothers and sisters in the things then of the Lord. And you just say, where does all this come from? It comes, you see, because we're envious and there's things that we've called against others and they don't even know at times. They've passed it on. They've got no knowledge of it whatsoever. And it can destroy you and destroy ministries. I won't give you the account, but it's found there. Not the actual word, but what takes place. It's found in Numbers chapter 12. And it has to do with Miriam. And Miriam, who was the sister of Moses. And what happened there was this, is that one day, obviously it must have been festing within her. I don't know why, but this is what happened. She comes to Moses, and what she has against him are two things. One is that he married an Ethiopian, and for some reason she held that against him, someone of the people of Cush, and that was a problem. And the second thing was this. She says, has not God also spoken through us? Has he not only spoken through you? And obviously she was mindful and envious of the place and the position that God had given Moses. Now you read that account because it's very sad. Miriam was a champion amongst the people of God. She was a prophetess amongst the people of God. She was one who stood by Moses. But from that very moment where she just came bitter because of either the marriage of Moses and the position that God had given him, you can read it. She becomes a leper. She's cast out from amongst the people. It takes 7 days for her to be brought back in. And you never hear of Miriam again until she dies. And you say, what happened there? It was not that life was bad to her, but it was just this place where she became bitter because of others. Can I tell you what else can make you bitter? You can be bitter tonight to God, Almighty God. That word bitter means, when you have a taste for something. It's either sweet or it's either sour. And for many people are bitter to God. They don't like the taste of it. I mean the taste of God. They don't like what the things of God. No, the Bible says that. When we preach the gospel, it's like a sweet savour to some. It's like the stink of death to others. And what you'll find is that people are actually, they've got a taste, a wrong taste, which is then towards God. They don't take to him. They don't like those things of him. And actually it says in Jeremiah, to forsake the Lord your God is bitterness. And for something then, when we come to the gospel, there are these things which are just not palatable to us. And people have something even against God. And what he is and what he's done. And the gospel itself. They hate the gospel. They hate the fact it's free. They hate the fact that no matter who it is, could come and have eternal life, which is given then through him. These things can get into your heart and into your soul. And I tell you, it will ruin you. It will ruin you. And these things make us bitter. I'm just going to give you tonight, because it's needful, something very practical of what we can do. And I want you to consider this text tonight. And there's a number of things which we learn from it. And the first is this, that you look diligently. You look carefully, lest anyone falls short of the grace of God. That in your life, of all the dangers that you're looking for, and you think that you found, well, could you not be diligent in this area and in this place? That you see, that root is there. It only needs to be fed. And the more you feed it, the more it will spring up. And what happens is that we can do that. And you've got to be very careful. And just be on the outlook for those things which which can get hold of us. And it needs then simply to be dealt with. You know, we need to do something else here. We need simply to acknowledge that this is the reality of being human in our lives, that there is that root. Let no one think tonight, for example, that this doesn't belong to them. It's part of the nature with which we were born with. Thank the Lord that He's given us a new heart and a new spirit which He puts within us. And we've got to not be slothful in any way, but just simply acknowledge the reality that this is there. Do you know what else we need to do? Do what Naomi did. Do you know, Naomi was big enough to at least confess, this is what I am. I'm bitter. Just acknowledge it. Because other people can see it, and other people know it. With the words that you speak, the unhappiness you've got, the negativity which is all around, no good word ever for anyone. You say, what happened here? Something has poisoned the pond, and it may have poisoned it long ago. And you need to acknowledge it, even there before God. You need to realize two things. It will bring you short of the grace of God. Like I said, what catastrophe could have happened for people who no longer perhaps come? What awful deed was done within the four walls of Bethesda? Something didn't go their way. Something wasn't quite right in what was said. Some huff was taken. It's throughout the land. And then people are no longer being fed and sitting under the food of the gospel. Realize that these things have an effect on others around you. You take your steps, you get your mood, you have your little, you know, grudge you hold, but it's not the only one that's affected. Others then are also affected. And you know, there are churches which have closed. And you say, how did they close when they were so big and so good and so right? Or something got into that congregation, and you know, before it, they turned on each other and things weren't right and unsettled, no longer to exist. I can point the place. It takes that within our lives. Do you know, there's something else we need to do. You need to just snip it in the bud. Snip it in the bud. Moses tells them, the writer to Hebrews tells them, I've got a little thing here from the confession. This tells us, think of it, no church members upon any offence taken by them, having performed their duty required to them towards the person they're offended at. Just simply saying, it's written there, if your brother's got something against you, well, go and see him. Go and deal with it. You've got to deal with it. And you ought then not to disturb the church order or absent themselves from any of the assemblies of the church or the administration of the ordinances, or upon account of such offence at any of their fellow members, but one to wait upon Christ in the patience and the process of the church. People have told us these things need to be dealt with. Now look, there's one more thing that we need to do tonight. And it's the best of all. In life, it can make us bitter. What you find in the Old Testament is when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, it wasn't long before they came to the place where there were bitter waters. It was the place of Mareh. And they couldn't drink those waters, and you'll find that yourself in one's life. There are bitter places. But you know what God showed Moses? He showed him this. He said he showed him a tree. A tree. And when God showed Moses a tree, he took that tree and he put it into the bitter waters of Marah and made those waters sweet. Now, what I can tell you tonight, in all that God's given us in our life's journey, you will come across bitter pills to follow. You will have bitter paths to walk. But I can show you tonight there is a tree that can make even the most bitter pill sweet. The most bitter moments he can make and deal with. That when you come to Jesus Christ tonight, no, there are the tears, bitter ones of repentance. And you come to Jesus Christ and he can wipe those tears away. You can know tonight of the bitter tears of death and of sorrow. But you know you come to that tree of Jesus Christ tonight, and he's the one who's able. If you came to that tree, there is life found in his death. There is forgiveness found for our sins. In that tree tonight, where your life has been found defeated and broken and has nowhere to move, in that tree tonight, there's victory which is found. And he can make that sweet tonight. And whatever you're traveling, where you feel the rejection and the hurt and the pain, the Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross and in that place, rejected of men, forsaken of God. And in that rejection, you'll find one who can make even that sweet tonight. For he knows every pain and every sorrow and every place that we've been. And when you think of your life where your heart is so twisted and bitter and resentful, in the blood of Jesus Christ, he can come and he can make that pure once again. And he can give you a life which is then sweet. And you know, for those who make it to heaven, who make it to heaven, and they don't fall short of that grace, oh, there's that great picture. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It heals his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. And you can know the sweetness of the person of Jesus Christ in your life tonight. And he's the only one who can deal with this, and he will deal with it, and you'll come to him. And just for that thought, as